We're going to go off in a direction here. And so we're going to go to Hebrews. We started with Hebrews 1:1 last week. And we're going to start with Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Verse 2. I'll read 1 and 2. God, who in sundry times and in diverse manners spake, in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. And that was where we went to the times past, and we talked about the different things that have gone before us, and all the saints and the believers in Christ, how they got the word of God to us, generation after generation after generation. It is the power of God, but it's the power of God working through people. And I'm very thankful for those people. I've mentioned I'm thankful for Greg Boyle, and I'm thankful for the church that led him, the people that led him to the Lord, et cetera, all the way back, all those 2,000 years. Verse 2 says this, "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." And I'd like to just stop right there. Hath in these last days, that's what season we're in. We're in the last days season. That last days, I really believe that Paul thought that he would see the end of the last days even before he died. And I can tell you that many men and women of God have thought that it couldn't get any worse, that the prophecies were going to be fulfilled in probably every generation that there was. Now we're a couple thousand years later, and we're still in those last days. We look at things and how things are going. We can actually see that if the Lord wanted to return and the certain things that needed to prophetically be fulfilled could be fulfilled as quickly as, I like to think, as the Berlin Wall came down. And if any of you that were raised in that time frame, who would have ever thought that would have happened, but it just fell apart because the timing wasn't quite yet. But in this last days, he has spoken to us by or through his Son, right? Well, let's go to Mark 9:7. Now, I have explained that we are in the last days, and that's a season. And then we're going to go from there. Let me see if I can get a 9:7 here. Whoops, I got a sticky page here. 9:7. This is the transfiguration. And Peter, in verse 5 it says, "And Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid." So this came out of his mouth a little bit. This statement came out of his mouth that he was fearful, and he didn't really know what to say properly. So he, if you know anything about Peter, a lot of times he had to say something. But he was sore afraid, and there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Hear him. So today I'd like to take you, because this is the season in the last days, and this is a time that we're going to speak, but I'm just going to take there's five different things here, it's only 6:30, so we got all the time that we can. We got a lot of time, but I run out of words after so many, so know that it won't be that long, but I'd like to take you to certain things that Jesus said. Didn't it say to hear him? And you know, and that in Hebrews it said, hath spoken to us through his Son in this time, in this way, and he has. And I think that if we would take these few things that the Lord has told us very plainly and followed up after him and really diligently sought these things, that it would go well and well-pleasing to the Lord. And I'd like to go to Matthew 11. And this is, I know everyone here knows these verses, but the challenge is to believe them and live by them. Matthew 11, and then in verse 28 through 30. Now Jesus said this Not that it made it more important than what the prophet said. All scripture is given by inspiration of the Lord. I'm just following up the seasons and the time and to hear him and being specifically what the Lord said. And he says here, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." We love that. Isn't that great? Now, I wonder how many of us live by it and think that our yoke is easy and our burden is light. Well, no, half of you are smiling and half of you are snarling at me, so I don't know how to take all that. But either way, it'll get a reaction. And I will give you rest. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. So many Christians are overwrought. And they miss this. They miss this. This is actually true. It's what the Lord said. And he will give you rest, that you won't be in such turmoil, that your life won't be so confused, that you're all stressed out all the time. And it says, take my yoke upon you. And a lot of times people think of this as if it's you and Jesus yoked together. But that's not what it's talking about. The yoke mentioned here, there's two different yokes mentioned in your Bible. One is for a pair and one is for a single person. And this is the yoke that they would put upon them to carry heavy loads to make the load easier. If you've ever seen that, well, probably over in Europe, that would be Holland and other places that you would see that kind of a yoke, because there's a difference. And this yoke is that you're putting on, learning of the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in him, because it says to do that. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Okay, so that yoke is something that strengthens you so that you can carry a heavier burden easily than you normally could do. How many of you ever taken like 5 gallon pails of sand and carried one in each hand? Okay, well, I can tell you, now Tom's pretty strong, so he could probably, and weightlifters and bodybuilders, they might be able to carry it. But I'll have to tell you, after about 10 or 15 feet, my arms are done, right? But a yoke, if it was on a yoke, you could carry that same weight a lot. And his yoke and how you're strengthened is to learn of him. See, it's to learn of him. And he says, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Well, you mentioned it this morning, right? The proud say that they can. They'd carry those 2 5-gallon pails and say, man, I'm tough enough, I can do this. And the Christian walk has with it certain things that'll strain you and make you very tired. And unless you have that yoke of the Lord and being of a humble and contrite spirit, where it says here, meek and lowly in heart, and seek the Lord's help in these things, you will get extremely tired. You need to take, and that yoke is his strength and his way of life. I am meek and lowly of heart, and find rest for your souls. How many of you are in turmoil of mind? That you have difficulty sleeping at night? That there's so much that you're worried about? Now, each one of us, you might not be in that condition right now, but you know it, and I know it, that there are certain things that we can get like that real quick. We can get worried about things. But so many times, it's all because we are not trusting in the Lord and his promises and all that he has, and put trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to see us through these things. We are trying to do it in our own strength. The Christian walk is not for your own strength. So my encouragement to you is, learn of him, right? Learn about Christ. Have you ever taken and exercised yourself in that, your Bible reading? It's a good subject. Just see how he reacted to the pressures of life. How he interfaced with people when they didn't have bread, you know, etc., whatever it might have been. See how he responded to that. Learn of him. Learn of his reactions to things. and you can have and you'll find rest for your soul. Now, we're talking about a practical rest here. Now, spiritually, and you need to understand that you need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and get this down once and for all, that you are saved by his power and continue trusting him all through your life. So take his yoke upon you and learn of him, and let him carry that load, the ones that you know you couldn't carry that load very far, but he can, because he is that yoke there for you. Well, how about this one? In Acts 20:35, you say, Acts, wait a second, I thought you said that you were going to talk about what Jesus said. Well, it's a statement there. And in 20:35, unless you know how I misdo things, we'll make sure. Okay. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So we know he said this, right? And because it's documented in the scripture and it's inerrant. And so he had said that it's more blessed to give than receive. Do you believe that? Do you live that? You got three, you got your time, talent, and tithe, we call it, right? You know, if you can, any more teas, brother? No, that's it. You know. But you got these things that you have, and you need to understand that God saved your soul, empowered you, and blessed you so that you can give. Okay? You can give of your time, right? That's good. It is. It's a great thing. You can give of your talents, or we call it your giftedness, your spiritual giftedness. He empowers you to give it away, not to self-edify. And of course, we talk about tithing and giving of the finances that he gives. But you know, the tithe and mission giving, we talk about that and people bristle about that kind of stuff. And they just don't understand that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I don't mind receiving gifts. You know, I don't, if somebody would walk up to me and say, you know, here's $100, I'd probably say, hey, thanks, and just put it in there. Now, when I was a younger Christian or younger pastor, anybody offered me money, I was proud. I didn't want to take, oh, no, you need that money more than me. I don't do that anymore. I said, I want to give you a blessing. Yes, you can give it to me, right? It'd be okay. No, really. And pride really rears itself in many different facets. But if you would learn, if you would understand and listen to what the Lord is saying there, in the assembly, we are trying to mature and become Christ-like enough to give. Okay, when we're babes in Christ don't give much, right? Because they're babes. And it's okay to be a babe when you're a babe, right? When you're young. But as you mature, it is something that you want to continue, that you want to go. This doesn't look like Tim Hortons. Did you forget the plan? There was a plan here, okay? Now you've got me all confused, okay? But it's more blessed to give. And so what God wants you to do is mature and become more like Christ. Learn of him, right? Learn of me. And because he gave it all. And I'm not saying to be foolish. I'm not saying to, you know, just take all your money and throw it around or anything. I'm not telling you that. But it's an attitude of giving. And many people have a real difficulty with either their time, talent, or tithe. Okay? Some people, money is their God, so they don't want to let it loose. Some people, time is their important thing, because they're stretched so thin that time is like, it's more precious to them and they don't want to give all that. But as you mature in the Lord, you need to understand that if we're going to be like Christ and learn of him, you need to be of a giving spirit. And people might falch on it, they might think you're foolish, whatever it might be. But you need to do this, and praise the Lord. Take his yoke upon you and learn of him, and then learn how to give like Christ gave. And so it's not to be grudged. You don't begrudge it anymore. And then people will fuss about it. And I just see that it is our purpose in the assembly, especially okay, in the assembly, very specifically, to help one another and encourage one another and to speak words, you know, and to give. When somebody is hurting or something like that, you can help them along. But you're giving of yourself in this way. It's edification. It's so very needed. So here's just two simple things that the Lord said. And if really, I don't have to go through the other ones, but I'm going to. But the other two things, you know, is that if you take your yoke and you calm yourself down, you learn of Jesus Christ, how he reacted. Did Jesus trust the God the Father? No, you tell me. He did, didn't he? All right, he did. He had it down, right? He had this down pretty well. And that's really where that peace comes from. You know you're doing right. You're going in the right direction. You're trusting in the scripture. And there's a calmness that comes with that. Now, I do understand we're tried with that. You know, especially when you get the notice, oh, I just lost my job. You know, or something like, I know there's trial periods in this, but it's a trying that yields what you truly believe. Well, in Matthew chapter 5, if you want to go there, we're not going to stay long in any one thing. We're just going to pop right along here. Matthew chapter 5, and 13 through 16. Everybody got it there in your Bible? I'm hoping I'm there. Okay, I'm in Mark. I can tell you, that isn't going to work. It was the madman of the Gadarenes. He said, wow, how did that fit in? I was going to have to do a little song and a dance here while my mind caught up to what I needed to say. Matthew 5, and then, where are we? There we are. Okay, and 5, he says this, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. I'll explain that in just a little bit. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Ye are the salt and light of the world. It's ye are. Now you're going to have to decide, and we'll get down to another verse or two here in just a little bit. How salty is your saltiness and how bright your light is. And so it goes on, ye are the salt. This is what they used to do. If you knew about the priesthood, you know how they would do offerings and they would throw salt on many of the things, you know, that they did and all the rest of it. Well, if that ever got rained or if it ever lost it and it lost its savor, what the priests would do is would take it out of the temple and they'd just throw it in the dirt. And that's the allegory here. This is the picture that the salt was no longer good for sacrifice or anything like that, and they just threw it under there and men trodden down it with their feet. And so he says here that to hide it, it says, let your light so shine. Remember that? For God so loved the world. What was the so meaning there? In this manner. Same word, okay? Let your light so in this manner, right, shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God has left us here. We are the salt and light. We are. And people say, well, he's the light. He is the light of the world. But him through us, we shine. And when we're empowered, but we are salt, which is a good thing for offering. And also, salt does many good things. How many of you ever... Well, when I was a young kid, I was running around barefoot. Now, you guys run around barefoot? You guys run around barefoot in summertime? Yeah? Okay, well, I was running around barefoot in summertime, and I went, this was at camp up in Maine, way up north in Millinocket, Maine, if any of you know where that is. Everybody should know where Millinocket is. And anyways, Millinocket, Maine, and I was running the corner there, and I was running barefoot, and I went like that. And this nail went right through my foot. See? And so, of course, you know what they did. They just put salt pork on that. puncture wound, and as I was screaming and crying and other such things. But it does have a cleansing power, doesn't it? It draws out. It draws out. And so that's, salt is great, and it's great for many, many things. Tana says, I don't want to get into salt and my intake of salt. But the Lord says salt is a good thing, okay? But ye are. See, ye are God's representative. You say, well, I don't want the job. Too bad. You got it. Ye are the salt and light of the world, okay? And now, he says, in this position, you got to do your good works so that men will see it and glorify God, the Father in heaven. Now, is that mine? I didn't bring my phone, so that isn't anything dingy. I can't bring my phone. I don't have the power. If it made a noise like that, I'd have to look at it, so I have to leave it at home. I have no control in that way. So it's salt and light, but ye are. So what? And my challenge is, are you shining? Has your salt still, is it savory? Does it still have power? And then sometimes salt is used for cleansing. And there's many uses for salt. Take my yoke upon you. Learn by Christ's example to give. We have so much. We have so much. And it really surprises me that having so much that we struggle sometimes to be able to give it away. We are empowered by God, and yet we don't want to give and help people. Many of you have a gift of exhortation. Many of you have the gift of helps. Let your light so shine. Get doing it. You're empowered by God. Be used of Him in the assembly and in everyday life. Now, and this, my fourth one, is Matthew 6. I'm going to get a little bit more serious, and this is to the choir. This is the ones that show up for most of the services or all the services. The scripture says this, take heed. Now, that's real strong, okay? It's like, listen up, okay? If you were in the military, you would have just called the troops to attention. Then if you're the drill sergeant, you'd say, look at my face, and then watch my lips. You know, you're take heed, right? Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. I'm going to jump a little bit here, just go to different verses. But he's talking about those that are serving the Lord, that you watch your heart. The pastor talked about it even this morning. And we didn't compare notes or anything. Maybe I should have. But the thing is that it says, take heed that you give not your alms before men. Now look, what it does. That isn't the only thing he mentions here. I wanted to go to verse 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. How you pray, when you pray, why you pray. Hard attitudes towards prayer, towards giving, right? And then let me see here, the next verse would be verse 16, a very powerful thing. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites. Fasting he's talking about. He's getting here in these portions of scripture about hard attitude for your Christian service. Now you need to, and I need to, examine our hearts why we do what we do. We need to see if we're assembling, if we're doing things, if we're giving, is it all because to be seen of men, or is it to bring honor and glory for the Lord Jesus Christ? It's very challenging for me. I don't know about you. Maybe your heart's all, you know, you got this down. I just have to examine myself continually. Why would I do this? And I want to make sure that I'm not into this chapter 6. He's warning us. Because, see, what happens when you've been in the Lord a long time? What was the saying that you said this morning? That your form becomes formality? That was it, right? Yeah. When your form becomes formality, and all your Christian service is just filling squares, and your heart isn't in it. Whether you're the piano player, piano player 2 or piano player 3 or whatever you might be, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, the pastor, whoever, members, leadership, deacons, whatever, your heart needs to be right before the Lord in all that you do. Because if it's not, it is of no value to you at all. So you, what you do, why you do it, is it to be seen of men or get their pat on the back or be accepted by your mama? Or what is it for? Is it for the Lord Jesus Christ? And see, I try to encourage even the young people to have a heart towards God very young, before they get to be 18, 19, as young teenagers, that they get this right. Because if they do, if they're serving the Lord out of a pure heart and want to do these things and are not forced into these actions, then they will already be really steps ahead into becoming like Christ. Take heed. Because see, this promise that is in the end of chapter 6 that we like to read, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And he's talking about food, clothing, shelter, and all these other things. There's a qualifier there. We like the promise about all these things shall be added unto you, but the qualifier is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, doing and being that which is right for the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that if the end result of our Christianity is the assembly, if that's the end of our Christianity or the sum of it, that we're really making a mistake? Okay. Now, do I think coming to church is important? Believe me, I believe it's important. Okay. But did you know that if you attend every service at Castlegar Baptist Church, okay, that you will be spending 3.2% of your time in church? 7 days, 24 hours, 3.2%. If you count your travel time, I used Nelson, okay? Because you're farthest out, right? If you count Nelson travel time, it will be 5.8% of your time. Now, if you take away your sleep time, which is 25% of your time, right, and then divide your non-sleep time into these kind of figures, then you're going to find that if you attend every service, 6.8% of your time is spent in church, available time. 6.8%, don't use sleep as an excuse. Okay, and then you would take, let me see here, I did my math. No, 6.8% for the longest travel would be spent in church, even counting travel time. So if church is it, and the only thing that we have to worry about, it's only at the max 6.8% of our time. Do you really believe that's all the Lord is interested in? 6.8% of your time? Now, is it important time? Yes, it is important time. Right heart attitude, singing praises to the Lord, all the rest of it, very important time. But there's the rest of life. And that is on your available time, 93.2% of your available time is also out there. And you need to understand that God created you and he has made you salt and light to a lost and dying world to bring him honor and glory. Here you're amongst the friendlies sometimes. I noticed Brother Venturini's back there, and he's not smiling, so maybe, something every now and then. He used to give me weird looks when I used to preach and stuff, but he doesn't do that anymore. So I appreciate that. No, I'm only teasing him. He can take it. Never mind. I don't want to go there. Sorry. because we've been around a little bit. Anyways, so here's all this time. You got all this time still available to you. You got certain responsibilities in the church, but that's not your Christian walk. It's only a portion of your Christian walk. See, people think that coming to church is like the fulfillment, right? And they've got the big square check. Hey, I go to church. Okay. But that's just a portion of your time. Yes, it is important. Because if we give, if preachers give and people give to each other and exhort one another, then you get filled, you're encouraged and everything, you go outside, and then you live the rest of your life. The other 90% of your available time is out there. So if you're going to be salt and light, and you need to take heed, and you need to understand that, how's your home life? Are you Christ-like at home? Because that's a lot of time there. How about at work? Really, if you take the 8-hour workday and stuff like that and divide it up, it's a big percentage of your time, especially with travel. At work, are you displaying Christ-like behavior at work? At school, for all you young people, ye are salt and light. And many of you even are in public school. You're supposed to be salt and light, yes, in that public school. And then I wrote down here, while alone at the house, sometimes we have a little bit too much time on our hand, right? And so we get bored and we got a computer, the iPad, the TV, the radio, the video games. Is Christ-like behavior in there? Listen, they're saying that young people now spend 6 hours in front of some kind of screen every day. That's a big percentage of your available time. And I can tell you most of it isn't edifying into Christ-like walk. So what are you doing with your available time? He said to take heed, have the right heart attitude about all that we do. But the challenge is that I see here is that we need to understand that coming to church doesn't make us like right with God because we attend church. Is it right to attend church? Yes, it is. But that doesn't mean that you're right with God. It could be that you're just filling a square. I come because mama says I have to come. Or I come because of this or that reason. Well, my friends are there. Well, that is... Anyways. So are we living the life? Because you only have so much time. And yes, I know in my own life that there's wasting of time. I know that this in other people's life. I understand that. But as we become more like Christ, that time will be less and less a waste. When you think about these things, are you challenged with this? Does it challenge you to understand that we are salt and light, and the Lord has warned us that our heart attitude towards serving Him, we have to have the right heart attitude at all times, really, to bring Him honor and glory to a lost and dying world? And our witness is so important at work and at play. So the assembly is only part of our time. It's an important time. But there's 98% of other time out there that we still need to live the Christian walk. And I know that this is a short message. But what are you doing with that time? Are you serving the Lord at school? Are you serving the Lord at work? He wants us to be serving Him at work. You still got to do the job. You do a good job, don't you? As a matter of fact, you should be shining in the amount that you do at your job, that you're faithful in it, that you're good at it, that you're respectful to your supervisors, right? All of that is in the scripture. And then when we're at home alone, what's taking up our time? And I understand that you're not going to read your Bible 8 hours a day or anything like that, but in everything we can bring Him glory, even what we choose to watch and listen to. We can glorify Him in that. So my friends, we need to be empowered. Because when I think of these kind of things, I can go, I don't have the strength to do this. Not in the old man. Not even close. I have to rely and take that yoke upon me that the Lord, and learn of Him, trusting in the Word of God, following after it, even though it's contrary to much of what is taught in society today, but believing it. So are you serving him? Are you? I like Hebrews 13:15, because I believe you're kept by the power of God unto salvation. I don't keep me, the Lord keeps me. And this has always been, when we go there, 13:15, it's always, I got to make sure I got the right verse here. Hebrews 13. Yep, that's not the one.
2021.
No, actually, how come I lost it? So, interesting. Well, you guys find it for me, okay? Because I'm looking for thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Am I just seeing something wrong? Which, isn't it strange? I actually double-checked this before I came here. So you can talk about being, finding things and doing that. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Verse 5.
Say it.
Verse 5,
13:5. Oh, I put an extra one in there, huh? That could be very well. Let your conversation be without, covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that's a comfort to me. Because I am kept by the power of God, and though I know that in many of these areas that I've talked about that I need to grow more like Christ, I'm not abandoned by him. I'm not trying to, through fear or anything else, to get you to understand this, but to understand that Christ is working in us, and he wants to see us more like Christ and to grow into his dear image. And so today, my question for you and my comfort for us, even though we struggle, he never will leave thee nor forsake thee. He is there always for you to encourage you, to empower you, and to actually sometimes even provoke you into Christ-likeness. So are you living for him today? Are you taking his yoke upon you? Have you learned or are learning that you need to give? And then one day to be mature enough to give like Christ. Do you understand that ye are salt and light? It's not that you volunteered for the position. It's a statement of fact. When you were in Christ, now you reflect Christ in you. And we are to be salt and light. Are you taking heed to your life? Young people, take heed. The teenagers that are here, right here, I'm going to promise you something. You're going to turn around, you're going to be 30 years old, and you're going to say, where did the time go? Truly. And you that are 30, you're going to turn around when you're 50, and you're going to say, where did the time go? And then if you're Brother Venturini's age, you're going to say, it's like a vapor. It's like a vapor. Serve the Lord in this season and in this time as we stand together.